This is Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is David Gardenstein-Ross, Vice President for Research at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies here in Washington. We've asked him to join us to talk about the latest message from the number two man at Al-Qaeda, Ayman al-Zawahiri, this time gloating over the defeat of President Bush's party while also slamming Barack Obama as the incoming president. And David, thanks so much for being with us.
It's always a pleasure, Greg.
Obviously, it's no surprise that Al-Qaeda would be gleeful that the current president's party went down to defeat, but there's also plenty of antagonism directed towards Barack Obama, including a variety of racial references that are less than kind. What is the intent here of Al-Qaeda? Just to thumb the eye of every American leader?
I think there's two intentions. One of them, as you said, is that he really wants to emphasize the defeat of President Bush. He frames the election of Barack Obama as being a definitive repudiation of the Iraq policies that the U.S. has had. That is, he's framing now this as being proof that Al-Qaeda has won in Iraq. Now, I'd argue that the exact opposite is true, that one of the reasons that Iraq didn't factor in the campaign so much, and you can see that from the percentage of voters who say that this was a big issue. The reason why it didn't factor so much is because Iraq is close to being won. Most military leaders would certainly agree with that statement, such that Obama's promise to withdraw troops within 16 months from Iraq, while it may have been foolhardy when he made that promise, no longer appeared foolhardy at the end of the campaign. Now, that aside, there's a second reason that he wanted to release this tape. The second reason that he wanted to release this is because you can see the kind of popularity that Barack Obama has, not just in the United States, but also worldwide. And one of the concerns that Al-Qaeda has is that the kind of Obama love, this new phenomenon that's developed, could diminish Al-Qaeda's messaging. If people think that the U.S. president is a decent guy, then they might have trouble drawing recruits to their cause and convincing people that the U.S. should be fought against. So one of the things he seeks to establish here is that the Obama administration really is no different than the Bush administration. And he does that in a couple of ways. One way is talking about Israel, Obama's stance on Israel, and how he favors, as Zawahiri puts it, the Jews over the Muslims there. A second thing he focuses on is Obama's pledge not just to withdraw troops from Iraq, but to place them in Afghanistan. And he presents that as evidence that the so-called Crusader War is to continue under the Obama administration.
And doesn't it appear to be a contradiction in terms to declare the failure of the Bush administration and then say that Obama's exactly the same way as Bush?
Well, no, it isn't really a contradiction. What he's saying is that this election showed that the Bush administration failed, and Barack Obama is continuing in their flawed policies. I mean, at the end of the day, though, you know, within conservative circles, there certainly are some concerns about Barack Obama's positions on foreign policy. Nobody expects a reorientation of Obama's foreign policy such that he'll, invite Zawahiri to the White House for a talk or decide to withdraw from Afghanistan entirely. Every indication is that the global war on terror will continue.
Any significance to the fact that he was the one in the message rather than bin Laden?
No, I wouldn't draw too much into that. Zawahiri has been much more frequently heard from than bin Laden. He's much more front and center as a face for Al-Qaeda. If bin Laden had been the one on the message, that would have been quite significant. Now, bear in mind that bin Laden did put together a video that was meant to be released prior to the U.S. elections, but that got intercepted, which delayed its release. So he has weighed in already, albeit not since the election has concluded.
David, of course, we know Al-Qaeda has a presence in different parts of the world, and one of those is the Eastern Horn of Africa there along the Somali coast, where pirates have been an absolute menace for some time, but it seems as though their activities are definitely ratcheting up. A number of ships just in the past few days being seized, including a major Saudi tanker. What should we know about the orientation of these pirates and what they're all about?
The pirates have a philosophy that's basically rooted in greed. So far, they've just been out for money. They've been hijacking a variety of ships and especially those with expensive cargoes, and trying to get a hefty ransom for them. They've been averaging a ransom, actually, of about $1 million per boat. So they've been doing pretty well for themselves. Now, one of the concerns here is that the Bab al-Mandeb Strait, which is right by Somalia, is one of the seven key oil choke points in the world. That is, key choke points for getting oil out to market. Now, if you have a group that's not pirates, but rather terrorists, who want to do some damage internationally, one thing they could do is take down a large oil tanker. That would cause an ecological crisis. It would also probably shut down the strait for some time and force the diversion of oil tankers around the south of Africa. You're going through the Cape of Good Hope. And the net effect would be that it would take a lot longer for oil to get out to market, and it would, again, drive up the cost of oil. That's something that we certainly have to have in mind. And, mark my words, in the past, Islamic extremist groups, including al-Qaeda, have looked at the feasibility of disrupting the worldwide oil supply. We should expect that they'll think about this again in the future.
What's the connection either with folks in Somalia? Who do they link up with, if anyone?
Well, as I said, the pirates there are not related to the international jihadist movement in any way. Thus far, they're just out for money, and the fact that there's a war occurring in Somalia helps them because there's not an effective Somali police force to clamp down on them. Now, when you look, though, at the elsewhere in Somalia, at the Shabab group, for example, there are connections between different Islamic extremist factions in Somalia and the worldwide jihadist movements, including direct connections to al-Qaeda. You've had a number of different al-Qaeda leaders talk about the importance of Somalia in their speeches, in tapes that have been released. That's a connection which is pretty solid.
And before we go, there's been some military action, I believe, by the Indian Navy against some of these pirates. What have they accomplished, and is it significant?
That occurred earlier today. The Indian Navy claimed that they took down what they describe as a pirate mothership. It's unclear if that's the case. Certainly, the fact that there's a more aggressive tack being taken against pirates is important. Ultimately, what needs to be done is, for one thing, there needs to be international cooperation for going after pirates, because right now you have a number of different jurisdictional issues, especially when pirates flee into the waters of a different country. You need agreements that can allow for hot pursuit against them and other things of the kind. A second thing is that you need to go after the pirates' bases, not just go after their ships, but actually go after the areas where they enjoy safe harbor. And we actually know where those areas are pretty well. It's been reported in extensively, including in the Western media.
David, unfortunately, that'll have to be the last word. As always, sir, thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure.
David Gartenstein-Ross is Vice President for Research at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. This is Dateline Washington.